السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ, ونشهد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. انا انزلناه فی لیلۃ القدر وما ادراك ما ليلة القدر, ليلة القدر خير من الف شهر, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل امر, سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر, صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز, اور سسٹرز ہو لسن اوور دا ریسیورز اینڈ دا ڈفرنٹ ریڈیو اسٹیشنز وچ آر براڈ کاسٹنگ اٹ, آل لسنرز اوور دوز اسٹیشنز, اٹ از دا نائٹ آف دا 27th, اینڈ دس مچ بائی ناؤ آل آف اس نو دیٹ دیر از نو فکسڈ نائٹ ایز فار ایز the sharia is concerned, or as far as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings are concerned, because we go by that which is the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is deen. Deen is what is in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given us a fixed night, then we would have said that's the night. But if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that search for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 of Ramadan, or in the last 10 of Ramadan, different riwayat. So if we have to go by that, then it is most probably one of the odd nights of the last 10. As I mentioned last night also, that throughout the world, it is not the same day and the same night. Some places, whilst it is the 27th here, it is the 26th day, and some places it will be the 28th day. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only knows which is that night. However, without going into the details tonight, we have been doing this almost every year, but tonight without going into all the details, we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself searched for this night. On one occasion he made i'tikaf for the first 10, then he continued for the second, and then he said, all those who made i'tikaf with me continue for the next 10. And then he said that I was shown in the dream Laylatul Qadr, and I found myself, it was raining, and I'm in the dream, and I found myself making sajda on mud, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's masjid was not like our masajid, it was simple. The masjid kachi thi, lekin namazi pakke thi. The masjid was not very solid, and nothing wrong. We are not talking about making our masajid solid and taking into consideration the climate and everything else of the country, of the city, town, wherever you are, to make provision, space, and make it solid so that Musallis do not have any inconvenience. That's all permissible. But what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, it's getting hot. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, the masjid was very, very simple, and when it rained, the water came in. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making sajda on mud. And it so happened that that night it rained, and it was the 21st. Now there are different reports, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, different people had different experiences, some in other nights of Ramadan. So putting all that into perspective, what we come to conclusion is that we have to search for Laylatul Qadr, and different people will have different experiences. However, this much we know from the Quran Sharif that Laylatul Qadr is khayrun min alf shahr. It is better than 1,000 months of ibadat. 1,000 months if a person has to remain in sajda, in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat, what he will get? If he is fortunate to get Laylatul Qadr, then he will get that sawab. Much, much more better than. Allah Ta'ala only knows how much better than. Then again we learn that Laylatul Qadr, if we have to take the ayat of Surah Dukhan, which people normally read in Laylatul Barat, and then come to conclusion that it is referring to Laylatul Barat or Shab-e Barat, but the majority of the commentators, and it seems the Jamhur, Mufassirin, everybody agree that Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah, inna kunna munzirin, fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. That ayat refers to Laylatul Qadr. Because the Quran Sharif, Laylatul Mubarakah, it was revealed. So they say that was Laylatul Qadr. Because Quran Sharif, it is very clear, there is no doubt about it that it was revealed in the night of Qadr. And it was in the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. So شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So this Quran Sharif, it was revealed in the night, in the month of Ramadan, and the surah which I recited, Surah Al-Qadr, that makes it clear it was in the night of Qadr. So it is said that in the night of Qadr, either it was revealed, the first few ayat were revealed, or the entire Quran Sharif came onto Lawh-e Mahfuz, or from there Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam started bringing. First it came down in the month of Ramadan, and then over 23 years of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, we don't know how many times Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So all this is the virtue of Laylatul Qadr. The revelation of the Quran Sharif, that is the major happening of Laylatul Qadr. The Quran Sharif was revealed in night of Qadr, night of power, night of majesty, night of blessing. See, why do we call it Qadr? There are different things that are said with regards to that. One is that Qadr means respect. So it is a night of great respect, great dignity. In the eye of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has given this night a great respect. Then again, a person who had no respect, a person who had no respect because of his habits, because he was in drugs and drinks and all kinds of haram actions and deeds, because he was in wine and women, and because this person had no namaz, roza, zakat in his life, or this person was very far away from deen, but Laylatul Qadr, this person really made up his mind that whatever has happened in my life, I'm going to put it behind me. And he makes sincere tawbah in this night. He makes up his mind not to return to those sins. And all those rights of people that he has trampled, which I repeatedly mentioned, that there is no tawbah without that. That the rights of people, if a person has trampled upon that, then we have to seek forgiveness from them. Otherwise, shedding any amount of tears is not sufficient. Monies that are owed to people, we must make sure that we repay them. And if we don't have it, then ask them for some time. But there is no question of ducking and dodging and then say, I made a lot of tawbah in Laylatul Qadr. That doesn't work. The person will have to make sure that he fulfills the rights of people. If he has been abusive to the wife, to the children, or to anybody else, then what does it cost if the person picks up the telephone or if he asks them for forgiveness? Say that I made a mistake in my life, I drifted, I went far away, but Allah Ta'ala gave me this golden opportunity that He blessed me with Laylatul Qadr, or blessed me with the odd nights of the last 10, or the month of Ramadan, or any other auspicious night, and therefore I am seeking forgiveness for the injustice that I may have done to you. Because that is one thing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that there is no door, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when a person who to whom injustice has been done, then Allah Ta'ala raises His dua above the clouds. The doors of the heaven are opened. And Allah Ta'ala says, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ. I will definitely, most certainly come to your assistance, even though it may be after some time. That means Allah Ta'ala only knows when. because he is wise, he is Hakim, he knows what is best, when it is best. But he listens to that dua and he definitely comes to the assistance of that person. So if injustice has been done, whether it is to the wife or the wife has done to the husband, or whether we have done to the children or to our parents or to our neighbors or to our family members or to anybody in the society, even if that person is a non-Muslim, but if we have done injustice, then we cannot get away. We have to ask that person for forgiveness. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I will definitely come to your assistance, then there is no doubt about it. If somebody tells us that there was a lake here that has dried up, we must believe the person. Possibly he is an old person who lived here in those days and there was some lake and it can dry up. If somebody says there was a mountain here but it no more exists, now it's a national highway. So lots of places it has happened. Go to Makkah Sharif, how many mountains have become highways now? And how many mountains have become tunnels now? So that can happen. But if somebody says that the Quranic verse or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's saying, provided it is authentic riwayat, if anybody says that there is a doubt in it, then first of all is out of the pale of Islam and there is no question of doubt. Whatever he has said is the truth and it will happen. Look at South Africa, we have the apartheid system. At one time they will say they like rock and granite. The apartheid government is like granite wall. Nobody can destroy it. So strong. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create the conditions for the toppling of that government which was unjust and unfair. And then whoever replaces that government, if they are going to be unjust and unfair, they will be replaced. And whoever takes their place, if they are going to do the same thing, they will be replaced. It is Allah ta'ala's system like that. Throughout the world, look at history. Look at all the governments of the world. Wherever there was injustice, look at Russia. At one time, what it was. They called it a superpower. And now it has become like provinces, like how we have provinces like that. So like that, America also can call itself whatever it wishes to. But who can stop Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from destroying those people who are unjust and unfair? Yes, Allah ta'ala gives an opportunity. And therefore he says, I will come to your assistance even though it may be after some time. Meaning that sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that person an opportunity upon whom injustice has been done. So now Allah ta'ala gives this person who did the injustice an opportunity. He may change his life and he will go to that person and say, I'm very, very sorry. He goes and tells his wife, I'm very sorry. I've beaten you up and I have done this and I've done that to you which was unjust and unfair. Or he tells his parents that I've treated you all very, very badly. I know that I did great injustice to you all. And I know that in the night of Qadr, no matter how much dua I make, it is not going to be accepted unless you all forgive me. So now he asked for forgiveness. And the parents also must be large-hearted and they say, we welcome you no matter how far you may have gone and what you may have done and how much of injustice you may have shown, but we have forgiven you. So now that Allah Ta'ala's help was going to come and this person was going to be punished for his injustice, but now the parents forgave him. So that is what we mean, that there is some opportunity that Allah Ta'ala gives. So these nights are the ideal opportunity for that. So now this qadar, one of the meanings I was giving, and we went on to something else, that person whose life there was no qadar at all, there was no, the person did not have any kind of respect. The person did not have any kind of honor. Because of his evil deeds, evil actions, this person had no respect in society. His parents, they did not respect him. His children did not respect him. His wife didn't respect him. His neighbors didn't respect him. They all said, stay far from this person. Watch out for him. He might steal your money. He's a drug addict. Don't even give him any business opportunity. Don't trust him on your till and on with your cash. And don't give your daughter in marriage to him. The person had no respect. But now he made sincere tawbah. He cried before Allah Ta'ala. He went to those people whom he had harmed. And now he changes his life. So when he changes his life, now that same person who had no respect and no honor, now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him respect and honor. So that Laylatul Qadr became a means of that the person changed his life. That is the opportunity that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to that person. Then again, another meaning of this Qadr is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif that he is the one, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for whomsoever He wants, then He gives them abundance in the risk and sustenance. I'm giving you the meaning of it, the gist of it. That Allah Ta'ala, for whomsoever He desires, then He gives them plentiful. And for whomsoever He desires, then He narrows it, He tightens it. So one of the meanings of Qadr is tightening and narrowing. So now we will say, Laylatul Qadr, how can that be narrowing? When we are being told that Laylatul Qadr, this Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's maghfirat and forgiveness knows no bounds and limits. So what it means again, we have to understand. This is important that we have to understand what it means. Like that incident that that person was sitting on the Jami Masjid steps, outside the Jami Masjid step in Delhi, New Delhi, or Old Delhi. An elderly person, pious person. And he was saying loudly, he said that, I am not your slave and you are not my Allah. So why must I listen to you? Now the one person that went past, he said, Kufar, Kufar, what you are saying. Some next person went past, he said, what are you talking all nonsense? How can you say things like that? After some time, one sensible person stopped there and asked him, what do you mean by that? I'm not your slave, you're not my Allah. Why should I worship you? He said, well, you seem to be some person of some sense that you asked, you inquired, what do I mean by that? So what I mean by that is that my nafs was demanding something that is against the Sharia, not permissible. There was a demand of my nafs, my ego, my passions. There was a demand, do this or do that. But something that was not permissible according to Sharia, it was not permissible according to our religion, according to deen, according to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. So I was addressing my nafs, I was telling my nafs, I'm not your slave. I'm not your slave and you are not my Allah. So why should I worship you? My Allah is the one that I worship. I listen to my Allah. I haven't made you my Allah. So that is what he was meaning. So like that, this Qadr, when we say that it means narrowing and tightening. So what is meant is that in the night of Qadr, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, according to one report, I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning, we're not going into all the details. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down in the night of Qadr with those angels whose station is the Sidratul Muntaha. And their numbers are unlimited. They come down onto the earth. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then orders them to spread out. So they spread out. Whether a person is on the boat, whether he's in the aeroplane, whether he's deep down in the submarine, just giving you an explanation, there's not words of Hadith Sharif. Whether the person is on a tree, or whether the person is in a shack, or he's in a palace, wherever he may be, whosoever is engaged in some zikr, tilawat, ibadat, salat, then they make salam to the person. They make dua for that person. And what is the effect of that salam and the dua? The effect of the salam and the dua is that this person's heart begins to melt. He can really sense that something is happening around him. He can sense the presence of those angels, although he may not be seeing them. Lots of things we don't see with our eyes, but we truly believe that it's happening. Right now in the air, that we call it air waves. Now how many things are in this air waves? Can anybody see with his naked eyes what's happening in the air waves? In the air waves now, in this masjid itself, there are so many voices, so many sounds, they're all in the air waves. If a person has to put, na'uzubillah, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from such kind of jahalat and ignorance, but if somebody has to put a television on here in the masjid, and don't think I'm talking about something far-fetched, I get letters from around the world, from Germany, the person writes that in our masjid, I live next to the masjid, and in our masjid there is a TV there. And the youth and others, they come and they surround themselves and they watch the TV. So the person says that I'm a revert to Islam, and this doesn't make sense to me, watching TV in the masjid. So she made some inquiry. So the person said, well, you see, masjid has two sections. Like how we have here, sehen section and masjid section. So I say, masjid has two sections. So the way we are watching is the sehen section. We're not watching in the masjid, we're watching in the sehen. And why we are watching this? Because we want unity. Unity we want. And this youth, if they are not going to give them something like this in the masjid, then they will go here and there. So we rather give it to them in the masjid. That is our thinking now. That's our mentality. That whatever we cannot give them outside, give it to them in the masjid. Whether it's haram, halal, we're not concerned. So what I was explaining is that even in this masjid now, if somebody has to put on a television, then pictures will come, sound will come, there'll be music there, there'll be everything there. So where did it come from? It came from the airwaves. In the same way, all this broadcasting and everything. So what we need is the right transmitter, we need the right receiver, and we will receive it. So like that, in the night of Qadr, if we don't see those angels, we must not come to conclusion that we can't see with our eyes, so therefore it's all fairy tales, na'uzubillah. Look at the month of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the doors of the heavens and the doors of Jahannam are closed. The evil shayateen, they are chained. Don't we see the effects of that straight away as soon as the moon of Ramadan is sighted? And just wait, let the moon of Eid be seen and then see the condition of the masajid after that. The masjid has to cry, where are those worshippers gone? When will they come back? The Quran Sharifs are catching dust. When will I be removed from the shelf again and when will I be read? Will I have to wait for another Ramadan? Taqon mein sajaya jata hu, aankhon se lagaya jata hu. Taqon mein sajaya jata hu, aankhon se lagaya jata hu. Taweez-e banaya jata hu, do do ke pilaya jata hu. Juzdan harir aur resham ke aur phool sitare chandi ke, phir itr ki barish hoti hai, khushboo mein basaya jata hoon. Jab qaul o qasam lene ke liye takrar ki naubat aati hai, jab qaul o qasam lene ke liye takrar ki naubat aati hai, tab meri zarurat padti hai, haathon pe uthaya jata hoon. Ae mujhse aqeedat ke daave, qanoon pe razi ghairon ke. Ae mujhse aqeedat ke daave, qanoon pe razi ghairon ke. Yun bhi mujhe ruswa karte hain, aise bhi sataya jata hu. Mahir al-Qadir, how beautiful is it? It just came to mind. But that is the haqiqat. Quran Sharif was revealed. It was not revealed so that we leave it on the shelves. We decorate it with nice juzdan and only taweezes. Quran Sharif is for what? For taweezes. We don't say that doesn't have its effect. We must not misunderstand. If it's written and put something around some child's neck, it's not haram. In the same way, if a person reads certain ayat, it is ayat of shifa also. So if he reads it for shifa from sickness, it is permissible. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of so many different ayat. But it was revealed so that we make amal on the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif was for the sake of amal and practice. Quran Sharif, as Shah Abdul Ghani sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that ye 30 para ka khat hai. It is a letter of 30 paras. Like how somebody's son goes overseas, and then the father writes a nice long letter to the son. And he tells the son that do this, do that. Make sure that you don't get caught up in the wrong lane. And make sure that you put your mind and heart to studies. I spent so many thousands on your studies, and I am sacrificing so much so that you become an engineer, doctor, teacher, lawyer, whatever it is, or scientist, philosopher. So now do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, be cautious of this, be careful, don't go to those areas of sin and vice and evil, and all everything he tells you. So like that, if that son now makes amal, he practices on whatever his father had told. And the father said that if you qualify and then you come back, then I've got a nice house for you, I've got a nice car for you, I've got this for you, that for you. Now when he comes back, the father is going to give it to him if he qualified. So whatever he promised, he'll give it to him. But if the son didn't do anything, he did everything opposite what was told. And then he comes back and says, where's the car? Where's the house? Where's that beautiful wife that you promised? So he'll boot him out from there. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us a whole prescription, a constitution. This is how you must conduct your business. This is how you must marry. This is how, what are the rights of the people, the rights of your wives, the rights of the children, the rights of the parents. Allah Ta'ala gave history of the nations of the past. Allah Ta'ala could have just given orders, legislation, do this, do that. If you don't do it, hellfire. But look at Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Even the fasting, we always hear the ayat, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed on those before you. Making it easy for us that some people before you also, all those before you also kept fast. Allah Ta'ala is not just one who just passes some legislation like our governments do. That if you don't do this, fine. If you don't do this, jail. If you don't do this, prison. Now here we don't make any complaint. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, so kind. Look at this. He gives us stories of the nations of the past. He says, read the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam's people. That they were cheating in weight and measurement. Then we did this to them and we did that to them. But the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of the time, Hazrat Shu'aib, he warned them. In the same way, look at Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He warned his people, but they engaged in homosexual activities. After having made all the tabligh and dawah to them, but they still rejected what the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of the time said. Then Allah Ta'ala toppled it. Sodom and Gomorrah, even up till now we see the effects of that. In the same way, Fir'aun, he said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am the Lord Supreme. But how much of opportunities and time Allah Ta'ala gave to him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to him repeatedly. But his arrogance knew no bounds and limit. Then Allah Ta'ala destroyed him. So Allah Ta'ala gives us all those instances to show that those people who made Tawbah, look at Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam's people. He left them and went away because he was seeing the signs of azab of Allah Ta'ala coming. But in the meantime, they started crying and speaking, making dua to Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala became so happy, forgive them, finish. The azab was removed. So all that is given to us. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a whole 30 paras there. How we should conduct ourselves, how we should live. Honesty, truthfulness, charity, nobility, sincerity, akhlaq, our character, our etiquette, our morals, shame, haya, modesty, everything has been discussed there. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained it in detail. And he was a living example of the Quran Sharif. So he says, taqo mein sajaya jata hun. What we do now, we just put it on the highest shelf. Or we will pour some ether over it, or we will write taweezes with it. That's all. It's for taweezes. And then when there is some argument and some fight and some quarrel, let's say bring Quran Sharif, take qasam on the Quran Sharif. Now we're going to take qasam on the Quran Sharif. So Quran Sharif now is only for qasam. We are not talking about permissible, not permissible. He's saying that it was not only for these reasons. In the same way, he says there is a great amount of talk that aqeedat hai mujhse. Got great aqeedat for me. But we are happy and pleased with the laws of those who are ruling against Islam and Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. In the Muslim countries, go and see. This very moment, Dubai airport, go and land at Dubai airport and see. If in the month of Ramadan, the sale of liquor has stopped. In the month of Ramadan, now go land there in Dubai airport and go and see. There's just one example. Go to so many other airports and go to so many other shops. Go to Palestine and go to some of the shops and see what's happening there. Who is selling liquor there? So Dubai, don't they know it's Ramadan? Isn't it a Muslim hukumat and government? One time they bragged even that they had the highest sale at airports, or the second highest sale. So even this very moment in the month of Ramadan, in the odd nights of Ramadan, in Laylatul Qadr, which is in one of the nights, but the airport is busy selling all kinds of things, including so much of alcohol, so much of brandy, and so much of wine. So Qadr, we are talking about what is Qadr? That one of it is narrowing. So that narrowing is, as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down with all those angels, and they are told to spread, and now they start making dua, they start making ameen on the duas of the people. And the effect of that is that this person's heart begins to melt, like ice on a summer's day, how it melts. So those people who are hard-hearted also, suddenly they find the kind of experience. The tears begin to roll. Person senses a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He experiences great amount of regret and remorse over all his actions and deeds that he did, which were displeasing to the Creator. He was rebellious against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he was not concerned about it. He was negligent. But now this night of Qadr, the person becomes concerned. He makes sincere tawbah. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, they say, descends with so many angels, so many angels. And that is the point that I was bringing across. That there seems to be no space on the earth. So much of angels come down. Whether we see with our eyes or we don't see, we believe in the sight of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We are blind. We will give our hands into the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He will tell us and we will accept whatever he says. Some years ago, I think I mentioned it also, that in the 1960s, when we used to travel from here by the Kampala Karanja, those were the two ships. They used to go to India, come backwards and forwards, fly the oceans, 21 days to Bombay. And it was only 150 rand from here to Bombay. So there was a doctor on board, and we were just young students at that time. So the person said, it was a month of Ramadan, and we're talking about Laylatul Qadr. We own the ship. So the person said, what's all these angels, angels, angels recording deeds, angels doing this, angels descending. So if the angels were recording deeds, so where are they recording it? If you got one on the right, one on the left shoulder, you say, then by now the shoulders should have been so big that there would have been no coat to fit the size of the person. Because those days were not the computer ages. There were no chips of the computer. Everything was writing, writing, writing. So he said, where are they writing, writing all the time? All the deeds. So I asked him some questions. Where are you from? What do you do? Where did you qualify? Which school you studied? After that you went to the university. You did this course, that course. You must have read a lot of books. You must have traveled in lots of places. You must have seen a lot of buildings and lots of parks and lots of things. And for studies, to pass examinations, you have to do so much of research and studies. So he said, yes, yes, yes. I said, where is all that knowledge? He said, in the head. I said, by now your head should have been so big that we wouldn't have found one hat to fit your size. Now the computer age, it proved it, that one little chip, and it records billions of pieces of information. One chip, millions of pieces of information. Allah Ta'ala proved it to them with their own knowledge. So Islam is not against science. Islam does not prevent us from making progress. Become the best engineer, the best doctor, the best scientist. We need everybody. But first be a good Muslim. It must not be that the person is becoming something, but in the meantime, he's rejecting his belief in Allah Ta'ala. He's becoming arrogant. He's becoming rebellious. So even those who were rebellious, they too in this Mubarak night, now if they turn towards Allah Ta'ala, his forgiveness knows no bounds. But some people, even in this night, they are not forgiven. Now without going into detailed explanation, which you have heard many times, and there has been so much of literature, and I haven't heard any program, but all of those who listen to radio stations, I'm sure they must have played a lot of programs or have had programs on this topic. But those who are disobedient to their parents, now those same things that I mentioned in Baraat night, And always we are talking about the rights of parents, rights of parents. So the parents too must understand that the children also have got rights. There are so many children, unfortunately the parents are not doing justice to them. But even then the children must not think that we must be arrogant or we must be rebellious. They must still respect the parents. Don't do that which their parents are ordering, which is against the Quran and Sunnah. But other things, respect them. In this world, we have to respect them. Make dua for them. Win them over with khidmat and service. Take their duas. Allah Ta'ala will change our condition. Some of them, unfortunately, due to old age, they become very, very irritable and agitated very quickly. And they scream and shout. At that time, just give it a deaf ear. How many things in our life we ignore? So like that, ignore it and carry on. So if anybody has been disobedient, then this is the night, then ask them for forgiveness. Family members and others also who have broken family ties, then until the people do not patch up. Many times I have mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion was in Arafat, and Abdullah bin Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala, and he reports, he said that we were sitting there and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if anybody has broken family ties, then leave this gathering. One sahabi in the 124,000, only one got up. That's how clean and pure their hearts were. And there was no question of anybody lying there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been informed through wahi. But he goes and after a little while he comes back. So what happened is, he says, I was not in talking terms with my aunt. So I went, asked her for forgiveness. She forgave me, I forgave her and I came back. He said, you did a wonderful thing. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmat does not descend on those people in which people have broken family ties. So family ties does not mean that every day you must phone, every day you must visit, every day you must go and have biryani and have chaap pani there. But at least don't have grudge, don't have malice. Break the ice. If there is some dispute, resolve the dispute. But don't break family ties. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is stopped. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, just now one sahabi, somebody will pass here, he's a jannati, person of paradise. One person passed, simple person with shoes in his hand and wuzu water dripping from his beard. After a little while again, or next day again he said the same thing. Third day again he said the same thing and the same person was passing. So one sahabi made some excuse, stayed with him 3 nights to see what is the unique thing that this person does. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying is a jannati. But he didn't find anything very different. He did the same thing and after Isha he went to sleep. But the only thing when he used to turn right or left, he used to say Allah wa subhanallah wa la ilaha illallah or some Allah Ta'ala's name. That's about all. So next day he told him, he says, that I wanted to just know what was it that you are doing. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said you are jannati. He says nothing. I don't hold any malice in my heart. That is one thing. I don't hold malice in my heart against anybody. My heart is clear. And I'm not jealous of whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to anybody. He said, that is the thing. It's a very difficult thing. But you've got that sifat in you. That's why he said you are jannati. So it is a Mubarak night. It is a night of forgiveness. Those people who have got dogs as pets, if it is for security, then don't make it a pet to lick our clothes and lick our body and hold it and grab it and brag about it that I've got a dog as a pet. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that, then you must accept it. There are many other things that have been mentioned there, but these are the main issues. So if the person has got any of these weaknesses, then he must remedy it. Like we have to talk on rights of parents, we have to talk about family ties, we have to talk about all these issues, then you will sit the whole night too, we won't do justice to it. But we want to make dua now, and then again we have a next session, inshallah at 10:30, and in that session we will have some muraqabah, umut and zikrullah, etc. So Laylatul Qadr, that is another thing that the person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he sends down so many angels. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif is for guidance, for hidayat. It is a constitution for us. We have to read it, we have to understand it, and we have to make amal on it. Those days they used to say we don't have translations, we don't have commentaries. Now we have authentic commentaries, reliable Mufassirin's commentaries in English. Every day we read 2 pages in 1 year, how much knowledge the person can get. Then at least he'll know what is Allah Ta'ala expecting of us. What is He ordering us? And remember, brothers, in sins there is no peace, no happiness. At the end of the day, sins bring nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. And 120 times I must have mentioned this, but it's coming again to mind. That how many people, on the spur of the moment, they engage in some sin or the other, and then it became a means of misery for them lifelong. Lifelong of misery. Little while of pleasure. So many young people, they have lost out everything just for that little while of pleasure. And now they are really, really despairing. Whereas there's no need to despair. Whatever condition, come back to Allah Ta'ala. Beg of Him. He can change conditions. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. What is this? Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. A little while of pleasure. Stolen pleasure. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se kaisi baghawat hai. What kind of rebellion is this against our Lord, our Rabb, our sustainer, our nourisher? Zara si der ki lazzat, for a little while of pleasure. Hamesha ki nadamat hai, lifelong of regret. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to regret in this world or in the qabr or in the akhirat. He wants to give us a beautiful life, an enjoyable life. A pious and a righteous person's life is not boring. It is those people who go on to extremes. Now that's not Sharia. Sharia is not extremes. If somebody goes on to extreme, there is problem there. He is making life difficult and miserable for himself. Otherwise Sharia is so beautiful, so wonderful. From whichever angle you look at it, our deen, our Islam, there's nothing but beauty in it. Everything simple, beautiful, practical, enjoyable. The person's life will never be boring. Then he will get true enjoyment. So let us make dua in this Mubarak night, the 27th night of Ramadan, to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ask forgiveness for our sins. Ask for ourselves, our parents, our wives and children, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And I ask for mankind around the globe. We ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to change our condition, to make us role models, to make us ambassadors for Islam. Our actions, our character, our behavior, our morals, everything must be such that the person gets attracted towards our deen. Like how in the past people used to come in droves into Islam just because of the wonderful character of the Muslims. Now that same Muslim, if he's going to be in discos, cinemas, rave club, theaters, dance halls, clubhouses, and if he is going to be abusive, if he is going to be rebellious, if he is going to be doing injustice, then who is going to come into the fold of Islam? Or even if they came, they will run away. But nothing to lose hope, wherever we are, how far we may have gone. This is the night. Now beg Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have been given many opportunities. And as I mentioned this afternoon also, that the odd nights, I call it the flights, that we have to be ready to board the flight. I gave the example that those people who are going for Hajj, so they're making preparation, the passport, the visa, and all those other big, big terms I always say, which are now. In those days, we used to go to the airport, get visa, and you're gone. But now, there's lots of big, big terms. First, there must be application, registration, accreditation. And then if you don't do all those things, then some kind of harsh legislation. Or sometimes they threaten you with sequestration and liquidation. Now, all those kind of things for Hajj. Now, for Hajj, we have become so much bogged down, so much of laws. Something that was simple and easy. So the person gets ready for that Hajj. He can't just go near last day and say, I want to take this flight. So we should have been mentally, physically, spiritually preparing ourselves for the last 10. But even if we did not, let's make the best of the remaining days and nights. And especially this night, ask Allah Ta'ala and inshallah, He will change our condition. Yusuf, put this off. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah. Oh my most beneficent, most merciful Allah. Oh my most tolerant Allah. Oh my most beautiful Allah. How tolerant you are, how forgiving you are, how compassionate you are. In spite of all our sins that we have been committing in our lives from the time we became of age up till now, you are still giving us so much to eat and drink and wear and travel around. My beloved Allah, if there had been anyone else besides you, you would have destroyed us because of our disobedience, because of our rebellion. But my beloved Allah, you still bless us and shower upon us so much of your bounties, 24 hours out of every 24 hours. My beloved Allah, you have blessed us with sight, with hearing, with speech, with our heart, liver and lungs all functioning. Who gave it to us, my beloved Allah, besides you? Our mothers did not have the power to give us ears and eyes and noses and heart and liver and lungs and kidneys and bladders. My beloved Allah, how loving you are, how caring you are, how compassionate you are. We are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Indeed, we have realized and recognized our errors and mistakes. My beloved Allah, tonight we are not justifying any of our errors and mistakes. We are not justifying any of our sins, my Allah. We are acknowledging every sin that we have committed under the sun. My beloved Allah, there is no one to forgive us besides you. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. There is no one for us besides you. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you. My beloved Allah, why else did you give us the whole month of Ramadan? Why did you give us the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Why did you give us the odd nights of Ramadan? My beloved Allah, all are indicators that you want to forgive. Your doors of mercy and forgiveness are open. The rains of rahmat and maghfirat are pouring, my beloved Allah. Cause us to be drenched in the rains of rahmat that are pouring in this Mubarak night. My beloved Allah, make it Laylatul Qadr for us. My beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. Change the condition of our lives. My Rahim, Kareem Allah. My most forgiving Allah. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that if I get Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I make? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught her she should say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh my beloved Allah. A very clear sign that you dearly love forgiveness. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afu. Fa'afu anna ya kareem. Fa'afu anna ya kareem. Fa'afu anna ya kareem. My beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat for us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive mankind, change the condition of mankind. Let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. Bless everyone with Iman and Islam. Make everyone worthy of entry into paradise and Jannat. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Make us yours and become ours. Nafs and shaitan have become my beloved Allah. They are our declared enemies. They want to drag us down the gutters of embarrassment, disgrace and humiliation. You want to give us a life of peace and happiness and contentment. My beloved Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahata hoon main teri pana. We are seeking protection in you, my beloved Allah, from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Oh, my Rahim, Kareem, Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. There are so many who are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes. Amongst us who are sick and ailing, we are all spiritually sick and physically ill. Cures of all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. We know that sometimes sicknesses and ailments can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But oh Allah, even if it is a mercy, change it to the mercy of good health. If the poverty is mercy, change it to the rahmat of wealth. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who are in Umrah, make their Umrahs maqbool and mabroor. Those who are planning for Hajj, remove all the obstacles from their path. Oh my beloved Allah, make it easy for them. Oh my Rahim, Kareem Allah. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children and the children have gone onto drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar, Ya Ghaffar. If you are going to turn away your glance of maghfirat and mercy because of our sins, then where do we go? Which other door is there that we can tap? Which other home is there in which we can beg? My beloved Allah, don't turn away your glance of mercy. If a beggar is chased from one home, we can go to another. If a dog is chased from one butcher, it can go to another. But if you have to turn away your glance of mercy, if you have to reject us, my beloved Allah, where do we go? Our lives in your control. Our sight and hearing and speech in your control. Our heart, liver and lungs in your control. The ground on which we walk is in your control. If you order the ground to shake, my beloved Allah, no superpower of the world can prevent it from shaking. If you send the gale force winds, nobody can stop them. My beloved Allah, if you send the tsunamis, who is there that can prevent you from doing it? But you don't like punishment. You dearly love forgiveness. My beloved Allah, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Overlook the shortcomings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, overlook the sins and the faults and the weaknesses of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our time, barakat in our life, barakat in every ni'mat and bounty that you have blessed us with. My beloved Allah, give us the courage of lions against our nafs. Give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and lives everything that has brought corruption in the morals and life of our children. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. My beloved Allah, how much of sacrifices my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for us. He was stored in Taif, his Mubarak shoes were filled with his Mubarak blood. Ah, my Allah, the most beloved of yours. He is being stoned for no other reason but that he was calling towards Islam. He was calling towards Jannat. He was calling towards you. He wanted to offer them the best of both worlds. But he was stoned until his shoes were filled with his Mubarak blood. In Uhud, the pins of his helmet pierce his jaws. He bleeds profusely. He is stoned, he bleeds, falls down unconscious. 3 solid years he is ostracized and boycotted. Food is not allowed. Time comes when they have to chew leaves of trees for survival. Ah, my beloved Allah, the one who was the most pure and most pure in body and soul, when he goes down for sajda and in the Haram Sharif, intestines of animals are placed on his pak body. Ha, by Allah, his beloved daughter used to say, ha, my father, my beloved father, why are they doing this to you? That Nabi who stood all night in prayer, praying for us, seeking forgiveness for us, when he is informed that ummat for whom you prayed so much, the ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed, that ummat, that community in discos, cinemas, theatres, gambling dens, prostitute quarters, escort agencies, adultery, fornication, watching filth on the television screen, porn sites on the internet, so much so that even in Makkah, Mukarramah and Madinah, Tayyiba, all these fitnas have entered. Ha, my Allah, how much of pain it must be causing to the sensitive heart of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But tonight we are asking for forgiveness, my Allah, on behalf of ourselves and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with the Quran Sharif as our guide, my beloved Allah. You gave us the greatest of all the Nabi's, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you blessed us with everything, and we have shown no appreciation for these great gifts. Ya Allah, change the condition of our lives. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat me dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all, the rights of our parents, the rights of our wives, our children, and for the women, the rights of their husbands. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of the weak, the rights of the strong, the rights of the white and black, the rights of the rich and the poor, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of all, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Ya Allah, don't let us cause any kind of injury or hurt or pain to anybody, whether without any justification. Oh, my beloved Allah, make us all yours. Make us all yours. Bless us with the best of both worlds. Bless the whole mankind with hidayat and guidance. Those who have become obstinate, they have made their mind that they will continue with the persecution, the torture, the tyranny, oppression and suppression. Then, my beloved Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Samud. Cause the planes to crash and the ships to sink. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have to die one day. There is no question of remaining here forever and ever. A day is going to come in our lives when our janazas will go. Oh, my beloved Allah. Rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi, ek din tum pe khaak dali jayegi. Oh, my beloved Allah. Before that day comes that the water of mayyat is poured above our bodies, let us pour the water of tawbah above our hearts. Before that day comes that the garment of kafan is put above our bodies, let us put the garment of taqwa above our hearts. My beloved Allah. The day is going to come. If we are wearing tight-fitting clothes, it will be sliced with the scissors. Our glasses will be removed. Our watches will be removed. The necklaces and jewelry of the women will be removed. My beloved Allah, we will be moved backwards and forwards. Water will be poured above our bodies. The kafan will be given. We will be conveyed to the qabristan. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah before that day comes in our lives. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, popping drugs in our mouth or any kind of haram. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Tamanna hai ki gulzare Madina ab watan hota. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہی جیتا وہی مرتا
وہی گورو کفن ہوتا.
My beloved Allah, if it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. He begged for us. He pleaded for us. And he will intercede again on the day of Qiyamah for sinful ones like us. Ya Allah, how much he loved his ummah. Let us become the coolness of his eyes. On the day of Qiyamah, let us not be an embarrassment for him in the presence of all the other ummatis. My beloved Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our wives and children and ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas, and especially that of Dajjal that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulties, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe. Conditions of AIDS, famine, drought, my beloved Allah, which part of the world is no suffering? The major cause of the suffering are we, my beloved Allah. Hamare hal par raham farma. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangata hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda mangata hoon. وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤ اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں. یا اللہ ایکسپٹ اور فاس اور تراوی اور ذکر اور تلاوت اور دعاز. یو آر ویل اویئر آف دا گڈ وشز ڈیزائرز ایسپیریشنز ان دا ہارٹس آف ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون ہو ہیز ریزڈ ہز اور ہر ہینڈ بیفور یو دس پارٹ آف دا نائٹ. فلفل آل دیئر گڈ وشز گڈ ڈیزائرز اینڈ ایسپیریشنز. یو آر ویل اویئر آف دا ڈیفیکلٹیز دا ہارڈ شپ دا پین دا سفرنگ دا پرابلمز the tests and the trials of each and every one, my Allah. Remove all the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of each and every individual. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.